You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95 BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Since Wednesday last week, Auckland and the wider Northland region were warned of heavy rain and winds expected across the North Island. On Friday night, however, as severe thunderstorms struck Auckland, residents were not sent severe weather alerts until after the worst part of the storm had already arrived. Many Aucklanders have called out the slow response system in an effort yet again to revitalise discussions around Auckland's storm and natural disaster preparedness. As well, Auckland's public transport system is under the microscope this month as Aucklanders endure just over a fortnight without train services as workers seek to speed up the completion of KiwiRail. Yesterday, Transport Minister Chris Bishop also announced a multi-billion dollar project for a Northland expressway that he says will improve public transport. In the meantime, public transport prices have increased for ratepayers and users, translating to less bang and more buck for Aucklanders. I spoke with Councillor Julie Ferry about both of these topics. Firstly, by asking if she was satisfied with Auckland Council's response pace in the lead up to the severe weather conditions.
I think the council response was pretty good and certainly better than we have had in the past. The key issue was that we didn't get a Met service warning issued until quite late on Friday, or actually not until sort of after midnight, and that's what actually sort of created the problems. Council had been sending out warnings for some time that the weather was going to be bad, but we didn't know about that really intense thunderstorm that was coming and the huge amount of water it was going to drop until very late. So that was an issue. But I think the council team did a really good job, pulled things together very quickly. They stood up and emergency centre in my ward, actually, at Flickling Centre, which helped a number of families, about 30, who had been flooded out, 10 of whom needed emergency accommodation and stuff like that. So that stuff has happened, but we do absolutely have some work to do.
Head forecaster at the Independent Weather Watch Service, Philip Duncan, says that available technology and open data access could improve New Zealand's storm preparedness by allowing for automatic weather alerts. What are the barriers prohibiting the use of these existing tools to ensure that Auckland residents aren't caught out by unexpected intense weather?
I'm not sure yet. I know that council is looking at that. One of the things that we do have is that a lot of our systems, we can sort of have things ready to go, but we can't send an alert message, for example, or whatever, until Met Service makes the call for a warning. And the weather moved very quickly on Friday night, on Friday during the day and then in the evening. And actually earlier in the day on Friday, Met Service had cancelled their warnings and then had to reinstate them. And you would have seen that happened a bit over the weekend as well. And we did have those two emergency alerts that went out later. And that was because Met Service had said, hey, this is coming and it's going to be full on. And that meant we could actually trigger those things. So we had people all ready to go, we had things ready to go, but until Met Service makes that call. So it's really a conversation, I think, about how is Met Service assessing those things? Does council just rely on Met Service, or do we look at a range of forecasters? What role do those kinds of automatic things play? And so it might be that in the future we have a situation where we go, okay, we think it's going to hit these parts of Auckland particularly badly, so people in this part of Auckland get an alert as opposed to everybody. So there might be the ability to do some targeting like that in the future. I don't know, but I imagine we're looking at that. One of the key things, though, is that we did have messages going out in the media and through council channels for most of the week beforehand going, hey, folks, there's a cyclone coming. Here's some precautions to take. And I have to say, I had to go and pick up one of my kids on Saturday because the emergency alert went out and he was worried and wanted me to come pick him up from where he was because he was busing and he didn't know if he'd be able to get home if the weather got worse. So I went and picked him up, got him home as soon as I could. And there were lots of people out and about just doing their ordinary everyday stuff. So it's part of using the alerts is a really difficult call because you don't want to overuse them, in which case people go, oh, it's another alert, doesn't mean anything. You also don't want to scare people unnecessarily, but also you do want to use them when you need to. And in both of those cases over the weekend, it really did look like we were going to need them, and then we were lucky and we didn't. So it's a very difficult, unpredictable weather situation, unfortunately.
Based on this most recent event, how is Auckland Council working to improve Auckland's storm preparedness and recovery systems?
So the recovery stuff from the 2023 storms, so we've actually funded quite a lot of work, and that will be one of the reasons that this time wasn't as bad. The main reason will be just there wasn't as much rain, and it also wasn't as widespread across the region. But it did hit my area really hard. So Mount Roskill and Sandringham, which is in my area, were the hardest hit. And what I'm seeing there is that a smaller area was hit. There are parts that flooded, were amongst the worst flooding in 2023 that didn't flood at all this time, or just the street did, which is, you know, streets are supposed to flood so that the houses don't, so that's not the end of the world. I'm seeing a lot less damage in some parts of the ward, but then we have got other areas where, so for example, there's a culvert in Wesley that was cleared before the storm, which is great. We did that. We probably wouldn't have done that 2 years ago, but we do now proactively clear those hotspots. But then it blocked again during the storm because neighbouring properties, unfortunately, had a whole lot of loose material, which then got caught in the culvert. And then there was a disagreement about whose responsibility it was to clear the culvert during the stream, and it just got worse. So, you know, yes, we absolutely have some work to do, but things are better than they were.
Moving on to my next topic, in the lead-up to the completion of the highly anticipated KiwiRail, Aucklanders were warned of a full 16-day shutdown of train services during April to accelerate construction. Should commuters expect more full shutdowns before the CityRail link is ready for use?
So there's a whole program of them that have already been notified, and you can see them really easily on the AT website. They have a thing about rail closures, and they're all the ones that will finish the works to make sure the City Rail Link can work when it's operational next year. All of those stoppages have been put in the calendar, and they're all there, and you can see them ahead. There's a lot of them. It's not great, but it is what's necessary to make sure that day one, when the City Rail Link opens, everything works. So in some cases, work that they're doing is to make sure that tracks and connections are ready. In some cases, they're fixing old problems that actually don't have anything to do with the City Rail Link, but we want to fix them now, because once the City Rail Link is going, the frequency of trains, how much people rely on it, we want as few shutdowns as possible. But, 16 days over the Easter school holidays has been a pain in the ass. As someone who wanted to use the trains with my kids to get around and stuff, but there is, on the AT website, there's a really good rundown of all of them. They also have the stuff that is not planned, because stuff happens, right? So, for example, at the moment you can see on the Western Line, there's a lift not working at Henderson Train Station, and that's on the website too. So those kinds of things are a good idea to check if you're not sure about what's happening on the train lines.
While the rail link won't be ready for public use until 2026, the 64 route, which was subsidised to act as a link through Mount Eden between active train stations, is returning from just 1 cent to the normal standard fare. Can you explain the justification behind this decision?
I was a little surprised about this, and I haven't heard officially what the reason is, but I think what it is do affect it. We had a number of residents who are on the 64 route, who are around Walters Road in Kingsland, who are very unhappy about the bus being on their exchange. They have raised issues about the route being changed, and there is a plan to change it operational and Mangafo Station reopens, because at the moment the 64, as you pointed out, part of the reason for that route, the reason for it only being a cent, to take it, has been to keep a connection into the rail line, into the Western line, for people who are impacted by the fact that Maungafo Station has been closed for the City Rail Link works. So I think that the rationale might be because those residents are saying, look, you know, we need this to happen as soon as possible, is that there is a possibility that one of the reasons people are catching the 64 is because it's so cheap. And so the idea is to remove that subsidy now so that there can be sort of an apples with apples comparison of, are people taking it because it's cheap or are people taking it because they need to take it? I don't know if that's the case. I haven't officially been told, but I suspect that might be some of it.
Yesterday, Transport Minister Chris Bishop announced a multi-billion-dollar Northland Expressway project, which he says will make public transport faster, more frequent and more reliable. Despite a lack of commitment to a timeline or a cost for this plan, do you think it will be of benefit to Auckland's public transport system?
So this is the Northwestern Busway, which I think will be huge benefit. So they have broken up into three phases, and the phase where they build the stations and stuff in my ward, which will be the sites at Point Chev and Western Springs, that's the third phase, the third of three. So that won't be happening for quite some time. But we know from the huge success of the Western Express, which my colleague Shane Henderson pushed really hard for, we know from the success of that this will get huge uptake. So I think it's really good news and strongly support it.
Finally, how do you envision Auckland's public transport system could be improved without imposing heavier costs on ratepayers or public transport users?
I think some of the answer to that is in the hands of central government. The level of subsidy for public transport, both for the construction of public transport stuff, but also for the operation. If you look at cities overseas, our central government subsidies are often quite a long way behind the cities that have really amazing public transport systems that really work. I've just recently been in Perth. That's a city that's got about 400,000 people more than us. They have 8 train lines, 5 free buses that go around the central area, and then a comprehensive system of buses, paid buses that serve the broader Perth area. And I was really impressed by both the infrastructure at the stations, but also the breadth of it, right? It was just, like, it made no sense to hire a car to go on holiday to Perth because I could catch the train to Fremantle, I could catch a ferry to the zoo, I could catch the train or the free buses around the city centre. So getting to that point, you know, they have central government support and they also have state money as well. And so I think those kinds of things, and just a commitment to a long-term pipeline of making these improvements, making it bipartisan so we don't get a situation where the government changes and the projects all get cancelled every 3 years or 6 years or 9 years, that's where we need to get to. And some of that, a lot of that, is about central government politics, unfortunately.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.